Pastor Brent last Sunday started this thing out, this three-week series of Time, Talent, and Treasure, by sharing with us the talents that God has given us. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about treasure. So don't button up your pants with the wallet that's in it and zip up your purse, because that's not what I'm going to talk about this morning. First thing we talk about when we talk about treasure is, oh no, he's going for the money. Let me just real quick say, as I've said before, it ain't your money. None of it belongs to you. The Bible says that we're to be stewards of our time and talent and treasure. And our treasure is part of that that we're to be stewards of, and we're to be stewards of it simply means that it's been entrusted into our care, Jonathan. Not that we own it, but that we're to manage it. So it's not your money, not one dime of it. But I'm not going to talk about money this morning. I want you to turn in the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm not going to keep you long this morning. Can I hear praise the Lord? Hey, cut it out. Don't say praise the Lord. That's not a good time to say it. No. I want to ask you a question this morning. What is your greatest, if I were to ask you to come up to you one-on-one, just you don't have to answer it out loud, but what is your greatest treasure? What would you consider to be your greatest treasure in your life? I'm gonna throw out some things here. I know you're getting ahead of yourself. Some of you are gonna say your family. I heard someone say that, family. Let me tell you, that's a great treasure. Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. What a precious treasure that we have in that God has given us to nurture and to care for. But that's not the greatest treasure. Some of you might say your investments, your financial means, your things, your material things. And even though as it's important for us to be able to steward those things and to manage them and to have that treasure, that's not the greatest treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, talks about this treasure. Let's go there for just a moment. You'll see the words on the screen. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, which I would hope that you would bring your Bibles with you and don't let the screen be the crutch for you, but bring your Bible. Let's feel the pages. Let's find out where 2 Corinthians is in the Bible. 2 Corinthians is not on the screen. It's in this book. Let's find out where it is and bring your Bibles with you. It says in verse 7 of chapter 4, we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I want to talk about that for just a moment. Cameron, are you still in here? Did Cameron slip out for a minute? Okay, did you enjoy the worship this morning? Okay. Cameron is actually raising money on a GoFundMe page to make an album. And I wanted to, before I forget, if you guys want at all to contribute to that, see him after church and he'll tell you what the page is entitled. I can't remember what it is, but anyway, he would probably appreciate anything that you could do towards that. Little bit of an advertisement there, so I thought I'd just mention that. All right. So we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And then we look back to verse 4 as a clue to what this treasure is. Because we have these treasures, this treasure, I should say, is in this jar of clay, okay? So treasures in jars of clay. What is this treasure? So let's look at it. Verse 4, if you look at verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it really talks about it being the gospel of Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ. That's the treasure that we have. And we can say Jesus Christ is our treasure, and that's true. But what it's talking about in this case is it's actually the gospel of Jesus Christ is the treasure. So I'm here to say to you this morning, not based on my opinion, but based on what God's Word says, that the greatest treasure that this world has ever known is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which simply is the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. Of all mankind. That's the greatest treasure. And it's housed right here in this fragile shell of a body, this imperfect shell. It says jars of clay. I think that's so interesting because we have this, if you know what a jar is, a jar of clay, a pitcher, you know, so to speak, and it's made out of clay. How many has ever had a jar of clay that you've accidentally broken? Anybody? Yeah, you don't do it on purpose, and it's not hard to do, right? because it's just kind of brittle and it's just kind of fragile and it's made out of clay and it's not made to be durable. If you take care of it, it is, but just inevitably, it's going to get dinged, it's going to get cracked, it's going to get chipped, something's going to happen to it, this jar of clay. So we have this beautiful treasure, which, by the way, in verse 7, it says that it's an all-surpassing treasure. It's an all-surpassing power. We'll talk about that in a minute. That is inside of us. So here is the paradox that we have, is that we have this perfectly complete one inside of the incomplete beings that we are. In other words, we have this perfectly perfect person that's living inside this perfectly flawed body, this perfectly flawed creation of ours. In other words, we have this all-powerful person living inside of this completely weak person. Isn't that a paradox? See, we can talk about all kinds of powers. We can talk about the power of weights. Now, we're going to see these power source dudes, or these power faith force guys coming in here in a couple of weeks, and they're going to be buffed out, and they're going to be strong, and we're going to see them bend the stuff and break the stuff. And if you ever are into weights and stuff, you can know that the more you do weights, the more resistance that those weights give you, the more strength that you're going to be able to create. And that's a powerful force. That powerful force of weight resistance causes you to build muscles. Am I right, Charles? You probably don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just letting you know that that's what happens when you work out in weights. That's a powerful force. The power of the sun is a powerful force. It warms people. It causes things to grow. It causes the winds to blow and the currents of the winds and stuff. But there's a lot of power in the sun. It's a powerful force. Actually, nuclear power is a powerful force. If you think about these atoms that are put into the right situation and they're, you know, busted, I guess, and how they do that, they bust up the atoms. And it creates nuclear power that lights up entire cities after cities. Powerful force. But you take every imaginable force that you can imagine in the world that is existing, of the weights and the sun and the nuclear and you name it, put them all together and combine all that power, and it's still not greater than the all-powerful force of what we have inside of this fragile jar of clay. Because there's not one thing that I listed, and there's not one thing that you could ever tell me that can save your soul from sin, that can wash you clean of all your sins, that can wash the sins of mankind clean from their hearts, except for the blood of Jesus Christ. You take all of the powers in the world, and there's not one thing that will save you other than Jesus Christ and his finished work. That's what we're talking about in this time together that we have this morning. What God's word says is that we have this treasure. It's something that we cherish, that we take care of, that we steward. We're stewarding this treasure in this fragile body, but it's an all-powerful force. I want to tell you a story as an illustration to this. There was a young lady who had two pots, jars of clay. They were watering pots. And one jar was perfectly new and clean and beautiful and unchipped and uncracked and kind of pretty and had some decorative things on the outside. And it showed itself to be very well, and it was actually quite useful for the purpose of taking water from the brook to the home where the lady could daily cook and wash and do the things that the water would be used for in her home. This was some time ago before indoor plumbing existed. The other pot, on the other hand, was cracked and marred and broken and looked a little like it had seen its better days. But yet she took both of the pots, and with a pole going across her neck and a configuration, hung one pot on one side and hung the other pot on the other. So she'd go down and to the brook, fill up both pots, and then she would walk back from the stream up to her home, where she would utilize the water that would contain in the pots. But the one pot that was brand new always had water filled to the top, but the pot that had a crack in it had leaked out about halfway. Every day she got water, she would return back with that one pot about half full. Well, the pot talked, and one day the pot decided to ask this young lady, "Why over this period of time do you continue to use me, even though I'm cracked, and even though half of the water that you put in is not there by the time you get back to the home?" The other pot is boasting, saying, "I'm full all the time, and I'm pretty and I'm all this, and the other part felt insignificant and really incapable of fulfilling the purposes of why it was created. And the young lady said this. The young lady said, "Do you see the path that I walk?" And the cracked pot said, "Yes." And if you look at the path, she always hung that cracked pot on the same side every day on her way back. And on that side of the path was flowers. And on the other side of the path, it was bare. So the lady was able to talk to the cracked pot to say, "If it weren't for you and the leaking and the cracks and the imperfections of your life, these flowers that I planted seeds, by the way, for them to grow would have never been watered and been ministered to, and the beauty of this would have never taken place except for your crack." So here's the thing. God uses us despite, and in fact, I would say because of, our cracks. And we've come into this place, many of us, painted over really good. And I'm not talking about physically. Ladies, thank you for wearing the makeup and fixing up your hair. And guys, thank you for, I don't know, putting on deodorant. I don't know, you know. Keep doing those things. It's okay. But we kind of get ourselves in a situation where we come into a church and we want to look clean. We want to seem like we got it all together, and we want to make our appearances like, you know, everything's cool. But here's what I would venture to say. In fact, I would put money on it, and I'm not a gambler. It's a figure of speech. I would say this. Everybody in this place is cracked. Everybody. Some of us just try to slap on a veneer to make it look good from the outside. But folks, if you live long enough, in fact, we're all born cracked. But those cracks just get a little more pronounced, I think, as the years go by, through just the hard hits of life, don't they? Through circumstances and situations that challenge us and test us every day of our lives. And if we can either let those cracks be something that in our minds disqualify us from being used of God, or we can understand that it's only through those cracks that the ministering love of Jesus Christ, the watering of the life of Christ, can come out from us to those that are in need that would otherwise not get it. So we can have a choice of either being the altogether ones who choose to not water anything throughout our week because we just kind of think we're great and got it all together, and we try to put on a show, so to speak. Or we can be authentic and say, you know what, I got cracks, and there's some flowers that need to be watered along the path. So I just want to encourage you this morning, as we understand this, that these jars of clay, it's in there for a reason, that it's described as a jar of clay, because he understands the cracks. He came actually to make amends and to make accommodations for those cracks. And he's saying, if you'll just let me live in you and then pour out from you through the imperfections in your life where people can connect with you based on your experiences, you know, if you've been divorced, all right. Other people that need to know that it's okay, that God still loves you, and that there's still hope and a purpose for your life because you've been divorced. These other people have been too. Let me tell you, in fact, what kind of good company that you're in this morning. Noah, in the Old Testament, did you know that he was a drunk? Remember that part of the story? He was a drunk. Yeah, you can read about it. I'm not going to tell you. You know, if you want to know more about Noah being a drunk, go read about it. He's in Genesis there somewhere. Just Noah as a drunk, and they'll open it right up to you. He was a drunk. I mean, he wasn't like a drunk all the time, but he was drunk one time, and it didn't turn out too well. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, did you know he was suicidal? "Oh, just let these rocks fall down on me. Just, woe is me. Oh, what a world, what a world." Like, you know, Wizard of Oz, witch. He just didn't want to live. Did you know that Peter was a coward? Remember Peter? "I don't know him. I don't know him. I said I don't know him." Cock-a-doodle-doo. And he ran away. He was a coward. Jacob, boy, one of the patriarchs, you know, third generation after Abraham, one of the founders of Israel, you know, the nation of Israel. He was a deceiver. Wow. Yeah. Rahab, the harlot. It's just a nice word for prostitute. And yet God used her to actually save the nation of Israel. Samson was a womanizer. Any womanizers in here? Don't raise your hands. Moses, he had some self-esteem issues. "I can't talk too well. I am not qualified. Moses, self-esteem issues. David, King David, he was not only an adulterer, he was also a murderer. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. Samaritan woman, remember her? She was divorced a lot. And yet Jesus came to her and said, I love you. And on and on and on it goes. We exist as a church to know Christ as Savior. We exist as a church to grow in Christ as Lord. And there's a difference between those two. Being a Savior is one thing. Jesus saved me from my sins. Now, Lord, I want to know you in a personal relationship and walk this thing out with you. That's the growing part. And we grow by not only engaging this way, but we also engage this way. Iron sharpening iron, and us helping one another, admonishing one another, holding each other accountable, encouraging one another in the faith. That's what the body of Christ is all about, the beautiful body of Christ. Then ultimately, we're to live in this last box of go. Jesus said, one of the last thing he said before he took off to heaven, right before he took off, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You can't get around it any other way except that we are called to go and water the flowers along the way. He didn't say, I want you to be a perfectly beautiful pot that has no blemishes and flaws. He says, I want you to go cracked and all because you're in good company. And on, so many examples in the Bible of cracked pots that God used for his glory. They watered through the cracks along the way. They were jars of clay just like you and I, and we're no different than them. If God can use them, he can use us. Amen? If God can use those cracked and blemished and flawed pots, he can use us because we're the same. We're all in the same company, and God has called us to go. What is your unique assignment? What has he called you? What flowers has he called you to water? If we plant and water, he'll bring the increase. I can't make a flower grow. I can only plant the seed and water it, and then God makes that flower grow. I can plant and water in someone's soul, and he makes that soul come alive in him. Where's your go? Where's your flowers? Where is that that you need to water? Where is it that Jesus needs to pour out from you in out those cracks to make a difference? God's all-surpassing power is the gospel of Jesus Christ that this world desperately needs to hear. I'm going to say one thing about these school shootings and about the laws that they're trying to pass and the different things that are going on. Can I tell you that the issues that we have in this country is not a gun issue. It's not a law that's going to fix it. Years ago, decades ago, prayer was taken out of the schools. And we're now paying for it today. I'm not just talking about lives lost. I'm also talking about finances trying to be poured into it. Hey, let's hire people. Let's hire full-time people to guard our schools. I mean, this place has turned into a military zone now. For crying out loud, what's happening? Folks, the church is the light. The light carrying hope of the world, and that we're carrying this all-surpassing power, bigger than every violent act out there, bigger than anything that's going on right now, is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the all-surpassing power in us, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that needs to seep out and leak out from us, these imperfect pots, to those that are all around us every day. Let me encourage you this morning to take this gospel and let it leak out from you. And by the way, there's no sin, there's no flaw, and there's no crack that is more powerful than the gospel of Jesus Christ in you. Just admit it this morning. You have cracks and flaws in your life, and that's okay. You are qualified because of it. And I just want to encourage you to steward it well. Cameron, come on up. Steward it well. Steward it well. Steward the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ in you to the world around you. And by the way, join all the rest of the crackpots that have ever served Jesus Christ. Say, I'm a crackpot. Yeah, it's all right. Amen? 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 Won't you stand with me this morning? Father God, this morning we thank you that we can stand here not having to be perfect, but we stand here, flaws and all. We stand here, cracked vessels, needing to understand the reality of the importance of you seeping out from us. Lord, help us to be authentic. Help us to walk in love and compassion with those around us. Help us to never think that we have our act together. Father, I'm the first in line on this. I've got cracks. I admit it. But I also know that it qualifies me to allow you to flow out from me through those cracks and those flaws to a lost and dying world. Father, those cracks make me relatable. Those cracks make us relatable. Help us, Lord, to get about our Father's business, to go into all the world and fulfill our unique assignment for you.